Then there arose some from which is called the synagogue of the freemen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia disputed with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. And they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people, the elders, the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfast at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. And it's really a bad place to stop, because he goes on as the high priest says to him to answer. And Stephen begins a sermon that is so incredible, sketches the history of God's plan of redemption from the beginning to the present point that Stephen stands at. And it enraged the people so bad that they stoned Stephen. But you know, there was something about Stephen. There was something about him, because as he was being stoned, not only did he shine as an angel, not only did he stand with an incredible boldness and confidence and preached a message that was just phenomenal, but at the point of death, he prayed for his persecutors. He cried out for them. When I look at Stephen, when I look at the story found here in chapter 6 and 7, and if you were just to read it, there'd be something that'd come to your mind. There's parallels. There's parallels here that are found in the life and trial of Jesus Christ, the death of Christ. False witnesses were brought up. Jesus there was put on trial for the same group of men. Same kind of things were said about Jesus that are now being said about Stephen. When Jesus was finally there crucified, he cried out. Though he was killed in a different fashion, he was martyred. He cried out for the forgiveness of those who were crucifying him, who were persecuting him. And so Stephen, here he is, he's being killed there at the end of Acts 7, and he cries out, "Do not charge them with this sin," even as Jesus cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." What I find in Stephen is what I'd love to find in myself, what I would hope that you would want to see in yourself. And that is a reflection of Jesus Christ. That's what Stephen is to me. He's a reflection of Jesus Christ. To the point of death, this man continued to reflect the love of God, continued to reflect the truth of the gospel. Stephen, though, didn't find this strength to do this the day of his trial. Stephen had something in him, characteristics about him, far before Acts chapter 6. What I want to do, obviously, there's no way that I can cover the entire sermon of Stephen in this section here in Acts. You know me well enough to know that 60 verses is an impossibility. I know with God all things are possible, but I don't know if that's possible. No. But what I want to do is I want to, if I could this morning, lay a foundation to who this man is that we're going to look at for a couple more weeks at least. This man had four characteristics about him that I want to challenge us with, encourage us by, and provoke us to search and examine our own hearts and lives to see if we're men, women, that have these kind of characteristics. There's four things that we see in Stephen that I think are so incredible and will then give us the understanding of how he reflected Jesus. How he had such confidence and courage to stand and declare to the scholars of his day the history that they preach and how to preach Christ through the whole thing. To do that, we're going to need to look at verses 5, going back up to verse 5, and verse 8. It says in verse 5, "And the same pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit." Now, Luke is preparing us for Acts 7 by saying that here. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. In verse 8 says, "And Stephen, full of faith," or as I already mentioned, grace, is probably more correct. Grace and power. Four things: faith, Holy Spirit, grace, and power. Four things that Stephen didn't have, but was filled with. Big difference. Stephen didn't have some faith. He didn't have some of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have some grace and some power. Stephen was controlled, filled. The word filled is totally filled with, overflowing, possessed by, controlled with faith, with the Holy Spirit, with grace, and with power. And I think as we look at these, we are going to see how they go together. It's like a chain, and each one of them's a link in the chain that brings you to the end of victory, to the reflection of Christ. Let's take the first one, faith. Stephen was full of faith. Now here's where we can ask the Lord, "Search me and try me. Show me if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, show me if there's anything in me that's not right here. Search my heart." Are you, am I, are we a people that are full of faith? Full. The word is controlled, overflowing, consumed by a faith in God. See, there's a difference between having faith and being full of faith. Having faith, you must have faith to be saved. And I assume that most of us this morning, I hope all of us, and if not, before you leave, I hope that you're a Christian. I assume that all of us this morning are Christians, and we have faith, or we wouldn't be Christians. Possibly a Christian without faith. To be saved, you must have faith in God. Paul the Apostle said this is what the gospel was. This was his gospel message. He says, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he preached. He preached, turn to God and put your faith in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20, he says that as he's there talking to the elders of Ephesus. Clear outline of a simplified, in a nutshell, if you would, of Paul's gospel message, faith. So all of us that are Christians, all of us that believe, have faith. So we have faith. But what we're talking about, this man was different than having faith. This man was full of faith. And I'll tell you what, faith is one of the most blessed things that God has given to us. Faith can do so much for you, and God can do so much with it. A faith in God. But being full of faith means you are filled with faith in God. Let me ask you, when you read the Word of God, when you study the Scriptures, do you read it and believe it? Do you read it and heed it, cling to it? Are you dependent upon the words of God for your existence? That's being full of faith. Somebody that's longing, somebody that says, this is what the Word of God says, and they don't argue, they don't debate, they submit. It's faith. It's being filled with faith. Let's take it a step farther. Maybe God speaks to your heart. Lay something on your heart to do. Maybe it's to go share with somebody or to move somewhere, as we see with Jeff and Natalie, and or maybe it's to go to the mission field, or whatever it is. God's speaking to you. Well, for you to obey, you're going to need faith, aren't you? The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Absolutely impossible to walk in a pleasing manner before God without faith. If you don't have faith, and if you aren't filled with faith, you can't do the work God's called you to do. See, a lot of us might have faith this morning, but not be filled with faith. And we can go away and we'll say, well, I'm just not filled with faith. Well, but here's a problem. We need to be filled with faith. If we want to be the kind of Christian that God has called us to be, we should want to say, I want to be filled with faith. Because God is going to, if God is going to use you, if God is going to use me, I've got to be willing to obey. And understand, obedience and faith are synonymous. They're the same. For me to obey, I must walk in faith. As Jeff said, they don't really know what they're doing. They just know where they're going. Well, they don't even fully know that. They just kind of know an area. And they're just going by faith. God speaks to you to start something, to do something, whether it's small, like call somebody and encourage them, or, you know, it's huge, move to another country. Whatever it is, it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. And it's going to take a person that's filled with it, that the response to God is okay. Not, well, what about, it's okay, Lord. Yes, Lord. The response to God is a response because there is a faith in God. And that your heart is filled with faith. You trust the Lord. You trust Him with all of your heart. Right now, today, there are many people, and maybe very well in our church, right here, right now in this room, that aren't filled with faith. In fact, they're filled with anxiety. Filled with fear. Because of the terrorist acts that have gone on, all of America right now is filled with fear. Oh no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next? What about war? What does that mean? What's going to happen? You know, and is that only going to provoke the terrorists more? And there's fear, and there's questions, and there's anxieties, and there's worry, and there's trouble. And people get their focus off. And they lose the reality of God's presence and promises and will and calling for their life. Exactly what the enemy wants to do. And it all comes back to a people that are lacking the fullness of faith. They don't trust in the Lord with all of their heart. They don't lean not on their own understanding, all of their ways acknowledge Him and understand He's going to direct their path. But they're worried and they're not leaning on God. They're leaning on their own understanding. They're doing the opposite of faith. Faith is trust. And there in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, is an absolute perfect outline definition of true faith. And don't pass it by like a familiar passage. Hold on to it. The reason it's a familiar passage, because it's so powerful and has so much meaning and has so much truth and is life-changing. It is life-changing. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Stop. Stop right there. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not some of your heart, not some of the things in your life. All of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. How? How can I do that? Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because I trust in the Lord. There are things God is calling you to do you don't understand. There are things that God is calling me to do that I don't understand. There are things the Word of God says that I don't understand. Why? Why does it have to be this way? Why? The Bible says, don't try to understand it. We love to figure things out. Amazing. We never figure things out. We try, but we never do. You know, the Lord says that He's going to give us peace in the midst of difficulties, anxieties. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, pray, you know, be anxious for nothing, but by everything prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. And let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Give me your peace, Lord.
Stop trying to figure it out.
But Lord, I need peace, and therefore I need to understand it. And once I understand, then I can rest. God said, I'm going to take the anxiety that you have and replace it with prayer. Be anxious for nothing but pray. And prayer is going to cause me to focus on the Lord and supplicate. And hear this, give thanks. Lord, I'm not in a point to give thanks right now. I'm filled with anxiety. I'm struggling. Worship. It's the opposite of what I would naturally do. Just worship. Bow down and just magnify the Lord for how good He is. But Lord, it's not good. He's good. And just begin to worship. And it says He'll give you the peace that surpasses understanding. Hold on. Wait. Stop sign. Right there in my Bible, there's like a stop sign that flashes in my mind. Stop. Peace. That does what? Passes over understanding. It doesn't say peace with understanding. It says peace that passes understanding. Oh, I can't figure it out still. I see. He's going to give me peace, but He's not going to give me understanding all the time. I'm promised peace, but not understanding. See, it takes faith to walk in the reality and the victory of a verse like that. I've got to just trust the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding and watch this. And in all my ways, acknowledge Him. Wow, that's interesting. In all my ways, acknowledge Him. What does that mean? You say, pray. True, but more than that. Because I can pray when I'm struggling and I am trying to trust the Lord and I got a situation and I pray, God, get me out of it. God, deal with it. God. But that's not what it means. Acknowledge Him. What does it mean to acknowledge somebody? Acknowledge His presence. Acknowledge His reality. Acknowledge His sovereignty. Acknowledge that He's God and you're not. Acknowledge Him. Wow, that is a blessing. That's where I just go, I'm not trying to figure it out because that hurts me. I'm just going to acknowledge that You've got it figured out. I'm going to acknowledge, Lord, You know the beginning to the end. I'm going to acknowledge You. Just acknowledging You're God and I'm not. I'm a man on the earth. And Lord, I want to acknowledge something as I behold the stars. And I want to encourage you just to get in a place where you can see the stars. Just take a walk and just say, okay, hold on. Let's get things, put them in the right perspective. Wait a second. That's the work of His hands. And His palm spans the heavens. Wait a second. Here I am on earth, one man amongst mankind. As I think about the galaxies, the earth becomes very, very small. And to me, the little man on the earth is huge. And the earth becomes very, very small. Therefore, I become very, very, very small amongst a bunch of small things. It's like to us, it's like little ants running around. Yesterday, I was with Isaac, and all these ants are coming out of the cracks of the cement. I mean, they're just everywhere. And we're just with some water washing them down, you know, and he's just passionate about getting rid of the ants. Here's this little boy dealing with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of ants. But we're even smaller than ants. And David said, as I looked into the heavens, he said, as I behold the heavens, he says, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you care for him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, but you have crowned him with glory and honor. And that's what we should come to that reality when I say, wait a second, I want to acknowledge him. What is man that you're even mindful of me? The Son of Man that you even take note, the word is in Hebrew, that you even care for me. What is man? And I put things in perspective. And I think, how am I, this little tiny creature on this big earth to me, but really little, going to figure out the problems and situations in my life, I would just rather, it's a lot easier to just acknowledge God's word, to acknowledge God's existence, to acknowledge God's presence. And do you know that simply takes faith? What is faith? It's impossible to please God without it. For he who comes to God, here's a definition. Hebrews 11:6. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Acknowledgement. Must believe that he is. I must acknowledge he is. He is God. And that he is a rewarder, secondly, of those who diligently seek him. You know what that means? That means those who walk by faith not only acknowledge his existence, but diligently seek him and understand that he's a rewarder of them. That means faith doesn't mean I just kick back and say, well, it's the Lord's work. It's the Lord's deal. He can fix it. He can deal with it. But it means that if I am walking in faith, I will be walking in obedience and I will be diligently seeking him. This is Stephen. Stephen is a man of faith. This man is full of faith. This man has an absolute dependency. And if I could just put faith into one sentence, it's a dependency on God. And could I add to it? It's an utter dependency on God. That's what faith is. I am just so dependent upon him. I recognize that I can't do nothing. I can't do anything in and of myself. I am totally, wholly, miserably bankrupt, poor without him. I'm dependent on him. If God doesn't intervene in my life, I've got nothing. It's a dependency. It's not a dependency on yourself. That's what's going to hinder you from being full of faith. You might have some faith, but you're not full of faith. Stephen was a man that was surrendered. And that's what really faith is. It's being surrendered. We talk about being surrendered. It's being full of faith. Surrender. Faith is so wonderful. Faith is what gets me through. Faith is what strengthens me. I love faith. I'm so thankful for faith. And it's not some great thing I need to obtain. I have it. Simple. It's walking in reality. It's believing the scriptures. It's seeing God for who God is and seeing me for who I am. And then it's recognizing and realizing that God loves me. And that he's reconciled me to himself. And he's drawn me into a relationship with him. And he says, come and fellowship with me. Seek me. Draw near to me. And I've given you the very faith to do it. And it becomes a relationship. You see, you'll never trust God. You'll never be filled with faith until you understand grace. It's not hard to believe in God. It's not hard to trust in God. It's not hard to let God be God and me follow him when I understand him. When I don't understand him, I'm timid. I'm not willing to let go. I'm not willing to give up. I'm not willing to obey because I think, no, I'm not doing that. That's going to hurt me, Lord. That's not what I want. But when you understand the Lord and you see him for who he is and see you for who you are, you realize it might not be what you want, but it's what you need. And ultimately, you do want it. Because it's only going to bring you satisfaction if you walk in the Spirit and walk with God and are surrendered to God. How many of us have done things our own way and ever been satisfied? Is there one person that can say, and I'm so glad I didn't obey God. Man, and I've been blessed because of it. And the fruit is abounding in my life. Because I just said, God, I'm not doing that. I've got to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm doing it my way. How many of us have ever... Show me one person in history that's honest and walks in integrity before God that says, and I'm so blessed, I disobeyed. Never. Because blessing doesn't come with leaning on your own understanding. Blessing comes by trusting the Lord with all your heart. When you understand God's not out to get you, God's already got you. He's out to fill you and bless you and use you. When you can relax in that character of God and you realize that God is what you want, what you need. You fall in love with them. And you learn to say, whatever you say, Lord, right on. Trust you. You know, Lord, I don't. You're just free. It's liberty. You're free to love. You're free to live. You're free to serve them. You can walk with them. And you can make huge steps of faith. And it doesn't take much because you're filled with faith. It's just, that's who you are. You just walk with God. You just do those things that He sets before you. And other people look at it and go, wow, the sacrifices you've made. Look at what you've done. And you look and go, what? Oh, it wasn't really a big deal. You know, our missionaries come across it all the time. I love the response that my brother has. You know, he lives there in Uganda and lives where there's no electricity, no running water, where there's malaria, where there's diseases, where there's threats of rebel groups, all this crazy stuff. And he speaks at churches and people go, wow, how would you do it? You got your wife, your little girl there. How did you do it? The sacrifices you've had to have made. And he goes, it really wasn't a big deal. And people are like, come on. Be honest. He is. Because he knows and understands his God. It was just another step in his life. Walking with his God. It wasn't, oh, I'm going to do it, but I hate it. And I'm going to be miserable the rest of my life because I'm going to walk and obey God. Yeah, he comes back here and goes, get me home. You are. No, I'm not. Get me home. Thinking, you've lost it. You're crazy. No, he's walking with God. And that's his heart because that's what God's led it. And he just trusts the Lord. And this little girl, she's in God's hand. And he realizes that. And he's going to submit and surrender to God and whatever. Church, you just don't know what God has for you until you're willing to be filled with faith. And I'm not suggesting that we're all called to be missionaries. I'm not suggesting that God's calling you to move your family into the bush. What I am suggesting, and more than suggesting, giving a strong exhortation on, is God has called us to walk with Him, to love Him, and to be people. If we want to end up like Stephen, and some of you might say, I don't want to end up like Stephen. Stephen was stoned. If you want to, let me put it this way for those of you that can't handle that. If you want to end up with the character of Stephen, with the boldness and the power, you've got to be willing to say, listen, I don't want to be filled with doubt. I don't want to be filled with worry and anxiety. I want to be filled with God. Then you need to be filled with faith. Because the thing that follows it, look in your Bible here. The thing that follows faith is, verse 5 there, filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. And again, tack on the word filled, the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Hear me clearly. Hear the Word of God and see this. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit unless you are filled with faith. Again, what is being filled with faith? Surrender. It's a surrender. It's just, Lord, I trust, believe, and walk with you. Just surrender. My life is yours, and I'm walking with you. You lead me and guide me. I trust you with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'll acknowledge you in all my ways and let you direct my path. Surrender. People say, well, I don't understand all this thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I've come down and I've been prayed for, but I ain't received nothing. I don't got nothing. Let me say it real clear. The issue of being filled with the Spirit is not an issue of coming forward and being prayed for. We can do that. And if you're in that place of surrender, God's going to touch you. The issue is day by day walking with the Lord in a surrendered heart and Him filling you with Him that you could say with Paul, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by what? Faith in the Son of God. Galatians 2:20. Faith in the Son of God. It's how he lives. I want to be filled. The word filled, again, when you think about somebody being filled with a demon, That guy's demon-possessed. And you see it. And Jesus approaches the guy. And they're filled with demons. And how many demons? There's seven. They're filled with demons. Well, what is it? Their life is controlled. Their body is possessed by demons. They're controlled by some other being, some other force of darkness, some other power. So what's the difference between being filled with the Spirit? Well, you're not filled with darkness, you're filled with God. Being filled with God, and I'd like to say it this way, and it kind of shocks people, and sometimes it even shocks me when I say it, but it's truth. How many of us want to be possessed by the Holy Spirit? What does that word mean? Again, we see it always in a negative light. I'm talking about it in a good light. Possessed, controlled, dominated, led, owned by the Holy Spirit. And my body is simply a vessel that the Holy Spirit dwells in and moves through. Not just sealed me for salvation, but is empowering, is filling, is dominating, is controlling. And that's what we see in the early church. A church that we say was filled with the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. Look at the early church. It was filled with the Spirit. We say, you're right, it was. And why aren't we? Because we won't believe. We won't surrender. We won't give it up. We've heard the analogy so many times, you can't fill a cup that's half full. You can't fill a cup that's full. And you're not going to mix in a cup of, you know, dirty water. You're not going to pour clean water in it and expect it to be clean. And God isn't going to share your vessel and use you for His glory when you're filled with self. When you're filled with the world. When you're filled with doubt and unbelief. You've just hindered yourself from being usable for the Master, prepared for every good work. God is saying, let it go. And trust me with your entire life, every part of your life. When it gets down to things like you really care about, like your finances, you trust me. You let me lead you. When it gets down to things like your children, like where you're going to live, you trust me. You trust in me with all of your heart. What's your heart? See, we're ready to trust the Lord with things, but not our heart. But Lord, that's my heart. That car, that's my heart. Yeah, let it go. Lord, that money, I mean, I worked hard for it. Now, money doesn't control me, Lord, but you just stuck your foot in your mouth. You're talking about the God who sees all and penetrates to the depth of your soul with His holy gaze. But Lord, no, it does. It's got you right there. That's your heart. You're right. That's your heart. Lord, those kids, those are my heart. Lord, that's my wife. That's my heart. So trust me with all of your heart. Trust me. Can you trust me? Do I love you? Can you trust me? And when you can trust God, God can, if you would, entrust you with His Holy Spirit. He can fill you. Let it go. Let the world go. Let those distractions go. Get them out of your life. Cleanse your life of these latter things that you might be a vessel useful for the Master. Purify your heart. Let it go. And say, Lord, I'm yours. This is Stephen. Here's a man filled with faith and filled with the Holy Spirit. And therefore, Luke lets us know that of this man. He was a special man. Are we special people? Are you someone God says, that's the one that's usable? Because they're dead. They're just simply dead. They're out of my way. It's just a vessel. It's an obedient vessel, useful for me. It's ready. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want with that vessel. They submit, they're surrendered, they obey, and they're filled with me. And I can lead them and guide them and direct their path. So many times I say, Lord, why won't you direct my path? It seems like I can't hear from you. You won't let me, Trent. I want the last part of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. And He shall direct your path. I like that. But I'm not willing to do the first three. Trust in the Lord, lean not on my own understanding, and acknowledge him in all of my ways. Well, some of my ways I acknowledge him, and I trust him with some things, and sometimes I don't lean on my own understanding. No, did you get the word all of your heart, all of your ways? And I will direct your path. So many times we go around in a circle in our Christian walk, and wonder why God doesn't meet me. Why? I thought the word said this, and why doesn't it work? Because we are not surrendered. And we forgot the conditions. Well, I thought the Bible says that Jesus will answer all of my prayers. It's interesting. 1 John chapter 3 says, to those who keep his commandments. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. For those who keep my commandments, 1 John chapter 3. Most Christians don't even know that verse. Like, what? Where does it say that? Well, that's a real big thing. That's a kind of a condition there. I will answer your prayers when you're in line with my heart by keeping my commandments. Because as he goes on in chapter 5, he says there in verse 14 and 15 of 1 John, he says that we know this, that he hears us when we pray things according to his will. And we know if he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we've asked for. Listen, it's when I keep his commandments. What's that, surrendered? When I'm surrendered, when God's the Lord and I'm the servant. He's not just the Savior, he's Lord. He's Lord of my life. He's master of my life. He's the controller. I'm possessed by him. I'm controlled, dominated by the Spirit of God. I'm filled with faith. I believe God. I believe God against all reason. I believe God against all opinion. I believe God. I believe his word. I know he's spoken to me and I've got to obey him. It's an absolute conviction. It's faith. I'm filled with faith, and therefore you're filled with the power of the Spirit of God. You're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're ready to go. You're ready to move. You're ready to, and you're hearing the Lord, and God's going to speak to you, and your prayers will be answered because your prayers will be according to the heart of God, because you'll be filled with the heart of God. You'll be filled with God himself. Nothing like being a vessel that's just filled with God. There's no greater satisfaction in all the world. You're never going to be bummed out. When you are filled with Almighty God, there's nothing like it. And Stephen stood there glowing like an angel. It was a representation of what God did with Moses when he came down from the mount with the law. We'll get into it more next week, as Stephen there is being accused of rejecting the law. And there he goes, and he starts shining, the only other time in the Bible besides Moses and Jesus. And he starts shining like an angel. He's filled with the glory of God. You bet he's filled with the Holy Spirit. You ever just looked at somebody and said, that person is so filled with Spirit? We've named it in Calvary Chapel the Mo-Glo. It's usually when they come out of a prayer meeting. They're just, it's nothing like it. We broke through the wall of, you know, oppression, and got right in there to the throne room, and whoa, yes! Just that glow, that excitement, that joy, it's satisfaction. You're filled with God, and there's nothing like it. Nothing can compare to it. Nothing. Nothing can get close. Oh, and God's got that for you and I. It's ours for the taking. It's yours. The banquet table's, it's been prepared. He says, come on and dine. Not yet, Lord. I'll be eating in the barn tonight. Be hanging out with the pigs. I don't want to miss out on fun at the table. And the Lord just goes, if you only knew what I've got. I've got me. And that's all you need. You don't need stuff. You don't need things. You don't need security. You don't need money. You need God. And you need to be filled with all of his fullness. Oh, if we'd get it. Paul prays this. He prays in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3. In verse 19, he prays that we might know the depth and the height, the width and the length, that we might know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And he says that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Think on that one for a minute. What? filled with all the fullness of Almighty God, the living God. Filled with all the fullness. Oh, church, God has so much more for us than we're taking right now. And it's all ours. Now, the third thing Stephen was filled with was grace. Verse 8. And now we're getting into the very heart of God. Grace. Okay, so you'd be filled with faith, which will produce the filling of the Spirit. But understand this, for you to do what God's calling you to do by faith, you need to be filled with grace. We've got to understand that. You've got to be filled with grace. It's when we come to this point, and all these tie together, and you're going to see this, as I said, it's a chain. And just what, each one's a link, but they're all one. It's one chain. When you understand that you being filled with grace, your life is controlled, dominated by the grace of God. Filled. God says to me, to you, do this. Lays it on our heart, speaks to His Word. What do I say? What do you say? We say this. I've tried. Lord, I can't. Lord, I don't got what it takes. And you know how God responds? Uh-huh. I know. See, we're thinking, God says, oh, you can do it. He doesn't. Yeah, I know. That's right. And what? You know, we're waiting for sympathy. A sympathy for that sin. Self-righteousness. Self-dependency. No, what you need is you need to be utterly dependent upon me. I need to bring you to a place where you realize you can't depend on you. You can't do it. So, and this is the problem with faith. And this is where people, okay, that's it. They hear a message like that, that's it. I'm gonna believe God. I'm gonna obey God. And they go. And then they fall. I knew I couldn't do it. So did God. It says it in the Word. It says you cannot do any good thing. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's pretty clear. Nothing. Look it up in the Greek. It means nothing. In you, it says there in the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 18, dwells no good thing. No good thing can do nothing. Okay, I'm starting to get the picture. If I really have faith, I believe the Word. There's none who do good, no, not one. There's none who seek after God. Okay, I've heard it enough. I can't. Oh, now we're ready. Now we're ready to work. When you're ready to walk by grace, when you're ready really to come to me based upon the cross of Jesus Christ, you're going to see the power of the gospel. God says, share the gospel with that person. You say, I can't. Amen. Now, Father, I need to be right now filled with faith in your Spirit. Because I know this, I can't. And therefore, I need to be filled with grace. I need to be overflowing with the grace of God. I need to walk in grace right now. I need to recognize that it's only by grace that I'm going to be able to accomplish what you've called me to do. That is what I call dependency. Utter, whole dependency on the Lord. Lord, you've called me to do it. I can't do it. Here I go to do it. Lord, you better show up or I'm dead. You have nothing in you that you're holding on to. You're holding on to completely the Lord Jesus Christ. You are believing by faith in all of your heart that God is going to meet you. Because you know this. If God has called you to it, God's enabling you for it. Period. The mistake we make is we're not filled with faith. Therefore, we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're not filled with grace. We have some faith. We have some Holy Spirit. We have some grace. We kind of mix them. The Lord's called me. Okay, I can do this. I'm going to do it. Yeah, right on. I'm going to bless the Lord. Here I go. God's called me. I'm going. And you step out. And you find yourself spinning your wheels. You find yourself falling on your face. You find yourself where you're frustrated and you walk away saying, I can't do that. Must not have been the Lord. The Lord never called me in the beginning. I was in my flesh the whole time. You have a point about being in your flesh the whole time, but not in the beginning. The beginning God spoke, and you tried. Paul the Apostle prayed in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he prayed there, or verse 7, he begins to pray, deliver me from this thorn in the flesh. God answers him. My grace is sufficient for you. Now, did you hear that? Grace. You can hold on to that. My grace is sufficient for you. For when you are weak, then I am strong. Or in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Hold on. What did God just say to the Apostle Paul? He said, Paul, listen, I know you got a problem. I know you're struggling. I know you've been praying about it. You want deliverance. You're not getting it. But you're getting something better. My grace is sufficient. It's enough. My grace is what you need. And hear me, Paul. You're weak right now. You're hurting. That's right where you're usable. When you are weak, then you are strong. Or as he says there, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. The word perfect, complete. The word is a word that speaks of coming to the end, mature. Then my strength... Wait. Did he say strength? Because that's going to key me off to the fourth thing that Stephen had was power. And then the Apostle Paul says this. Therefore, verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Therefore, I'd most gladly boast. Wait, did I hear him right? Did he say he'd most gladly boast in his infirmities and reproaches and persecutions for Christ's sake? He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Wait a second. This guy is nuts. This guy's crazy. He just said, therefore I would most gladly. Did you hear that? I'm grudgingly, bitterly boasting. No, most gladly I would boast. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's faith. Faith says, this is what God says, therefore I'm going to worship. What do you think is most gladly? I'm going to boast in my infirmities. I'm going to say, you know what, I can't, but God's going to. And I'm going to walk with Him. And I'm going to believe Him, and I'm going to let Him fill me with Him. And I'm going to walk by His grace, because it's sufficient for me. And you watch the power that comes forth from it, because it's all going to be God. And when it's said and done, I'm not going to be able to say, look at me. Boy, did I do a lot. No, why? Because you're going to know in the depth of your soul that you did nothing but depend upon the One who did everything. You're not going to go, look at the great work I've done, the things I've accomplished for the Lord. You're going to look back and see the work of God and say, you, God, you are so good. You, I know who I am. You know who I am. Nobody else does. They just see you in me. And Lord, you have used me and you have saved people and you have done a work and God, you're so good. You know what it does? It humbles you. But you know when you do it? You get prideful. You have credit to take. When you have no credit to take, you can't take any. And when people get you credit for something that's not yours, you're convicted. Like, Lord, that's yours. And they're telling me that I did a great... Lord, I know! Because you brought me to that place of utter dependency. Church, let me tell you, I fully understand this. It is an absolute 100% miracle, divine intervention by God, that I'm standing here right now preaching the Bible. And only God knows. And some of you might have a little clue, but only God really knows. And as I stand back and I see God raising up people and sending them out, and God using people in our body here at home, I just have to say, I got to worship. I got to just go worship God. It's not my doing. In fact, they don't even listen to me anyways. And I just say, God, be magnified. And my heart is stirred to personally go deeper with the Lord, because I see and taste of His goodness. And there's incredible power
that comes from it. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 9, he says, I'm not worthy. He says, I was a persecutor of the church. And I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. He goes on in verse 10 and says, but I am what I am. Now he realizes God's done something with him. And he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he says, in his grace towards me. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he says, and I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Did you hear what he said? Did you think about it? Hold on. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace towards me was not in vain, because I labor more abundantly than all the apostles. And he did. And he affected more of the Roman Empire than anybody that I've ever read about or known about in all church history. And he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace wasn't in vain, and it wasn't empty. He says, I labor more by the grace. Yeah, whoa. He says, he kind of backtracks. Not I. It wasn't me. It was the grace of God with me. See, because I've learned what it means to be weak and him to be strong. I've learned to say, okay, God's called me something. I can't do it. God says, get up right now. I know you just got stoned. Stand up. Go right back into that city. Oh, no, I can't. Okay, Lord, here we go. Absolute dependency. You got nothing else. Do you think the Apostle Paul really was this great man? He understood grace. He understood grace. He understood faith. He believed that when he stepped out, God was going to fill him with the Spirit. Do you believe that? Do you believe right now, when you step out in faith, that absolutely, without a shame, God is going to fill me with the Spirit? Or, God probably won't fill me. I'm just going to make a fool of myself. You don't have faith. You're not filled with faith. You're filled with doubt. Listen, when God calls me to do something, I know this. I absolutely know it by faith, period. By the Word of God, by truth. Not by any feeling I have. God is going to anoint me. When I got here this morning, I know that God is going to anoint me to teach the Word, because God wants to be glorified. And because God's called me to do it, and God told me to do it, and I know I can't do it, so I'm going to go and say, Lord, I can't do it, but you're going to do it, and I'm going to worship you for it. And before I even do anything, I worship God. I say, thank you for what you're going to do today. Let's go. And it's just simplicity. It's great. It's just God. He's going to do it. He's God. You know, so we're driving up to Montana. You know, I'm going to do this retreat. I got like 6-7 messages to do. I haven't studied it all. I'm driving up there, and I'm talking to the guy, and I'm just having a great time. You know, a couple years ago, I was just freaking out. Oh, I haven't studied, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and I can't teach. And see, I already recognize that. I've got to the point of saying, I can't teach. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm an idiot. I'm probably saying things right now that are graven people. I just got to go get with God. But you see, I went with an attitude of God is going to meet his people because he's God. And I went with faith, believing that God was going to minister, believing that God was going to touch. And you know, we saw God do some incredible things when we were in Montana. We saw God save people. We saw God change people right before our eyes. Like, you wouldn't even believe, I mean, even physically. God moved. I wasn't surprised. It's God. It's got nothing to do with me, with you, with us. It's got something to do with our Father. And if we were to get our eyes off ourselves and on him and say, Lord, be magnified, we would find that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask. When we're filled with the fullness of God. Read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. That they be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him, now filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. It's not our power, it's God's power at work in us. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. And to him be the glory, it goes on to say in verse 21. In the church, to him be the glory. Throughout all ages, to him be the glory. Listen, Stephen was a man that got it. That said, hey, the new covenant is good, and I'm taking it. I'm taking it, and I'm going in. And I'm just going to be filled with faith, The result, you'll be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to be filled with grace. And as I walk in it, I'm going to be filled with the power of God. And it says that God used him in such wonderful ways that he did signs and wonders. And church, hear me. It says as they came to resist him, those from the synagogue of the freemen, they came to stand against him, debate. They could not resist by the words he spoke of the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. They couldn't. They couldn't deal with them. You want to talk about an apologist? Stephen. Apologists today have missed it. How many apologists do you know that are filled with Spirit? Filled with faith and trust, dependency in God. Filled with grace. Filled with power. Where those that he's debating, they can't deal with it. The only thing they can do to him is kill him. Make lies about him. Bring false witnesses. We can't. We cannot deal with his theology. We cannot deal with the power by which he speaks. Therefore, just do something with him. Somebody lie. Somebody bring false witnesses in. Somehow let's get him arrested. Let's seize him. And they drag him to the court. Church, understand this. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the same God that Stephen had. You have the same God. Same gospel, same word. Same power, same Holy Spirit. The question is, do we have the same faith? Will we determine, Lord? Just be magnified. If that means you've called me to be a preacher or called me to work a job and be a preacher. You see, we've got, you know, well, that's used for God and that's not. Because we're not filled with faith, power. The mission field is right before you. Right before you. Every one of your missionaries, God's waiting to fill you. He's saying, let me pour it out. Let me just fill you. Just trust me. Just obey me. Just take that step. Let me just anoint you. The Bible says we have the anointing from the Holy One. It's not something you got to go get. You got to just receive it. Walk in it. Experience. Just let God be God. And get out of His way. And watch the power of the gospel begin to penetrate hearts and lives, cities and civilizations, for God's glory and God's honor. Father, we thank you so much for the great grace that is upon us as a people. The goodness that you have, Lord, towards us. We just ask, Lord, that you would be magnified, that you would be glorified. Today, Lord, we simply ask that you would search us and try us. Show us, Lord, our wicked ways and lead us in the way everlasting. Penetrate, Lord, to the depths of our soul. Do your work, Father, I pray. Be magnified. It's in Jesus' name. I have one challenge for us. And that challenge is this. Today, take a pen, an open heart, and a piece of paper, and your Bible. And ask God, Lord, what am I full of? What am I full of right now? And begin to list the things you think you're full of. Ask yourself, am I full of the Holy Spirit? Am I full of faith? And if you say, not really, no, begin to write down, look, I'm full of sin. What sin? Write it down. Between you and the Lord. I'm full of the world. Write it down. I'm filled with this. I'm filled with that. And then have a time of repentance. Just get right with God. Just search your heart. The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. Save yourself some pain. Why does God have to strip us and break us? Why don't we just repent? Why don't we just say, cleanse me? Okay, Lord, let's go. And by faith, just come to Him through that grace and allow Him to touch you and cleanse you. And I know the Lord will meet you, speak to you, most importantly, change you. Amen.